there, her guardian mother tells her, for her own safety and for her own good. Out there, the world is full of darkness and evil. Out there, people will use her and the secret renewing power of her hair for their own greedy and selfish intents. But in the tower, she is safe. Mother Gothel will take care of her. She believes it, and she tries to be content. But after a while, the daily routine gets a bit rote. And she tries to be creative, but she's stuck. When will my life begin? Is this all there ever will be? Now, right from the very start here, I see a gospel message. Rapunzel's story connects with us because we can identify with her. It's not that we're stuck in towers, but we know what it means to have our lives feel stuck. We fill our days with activities. We go through the motions. And you know, most of them are pretty good, actually. But underneath it all, a nagging question persists. What's the point of my life? What's my significance? Is this all there is? Daily grind keeping me busy with no long-term plot in my life? Rapunzel feels deep down inside that there is something more. See, she doesn't know what we know at this point in the story. She missed the prologue at the beginning of the movie. A king and queen were expecting a baby, but there's complications with the birth. So they sought out the magic flower with healing power to save her. And the baby, Rapunzel, is born with hair that retains the same magic renewing power as the flower. Well, time for some plot. Gothel has been using this flower to stay forever young. And so she steals the baby, hides her away in the hidden tower, raises her as her own, and all the while uses her hair to stay young. Gothel, you see, is not really her mother. The tower is not really her home. Their daily routine is not her life. She has a lost identity. She is the missing princess. There's a prologue in our lives too, you know. We have been born with an identity. We belong to God. God created us with a purpose for our lives. But as we live into our lives, we are kidnapped by sin. And our world becomes closed. Now, we believe usually that our lives are basically fine. They're filled with good things. We should be happy. And I think here, Disney grabs the genius of our towers. For we believe that the life that we have is for our own good. It's the lie that it's the best for us. Just keep on going. The prison we live in is for our good. But down deep, we have this song. When will my life begin? I had a wake-up moment when I was a teenager. I walked away from my faith upbringing. I denied that there was a God who loved me or who had a claim on my life, who had made me for a reason. I couldn't prove it, so I shut the door. But my wake-up moment was that when I walked away from God, I walked into a prison cell. Well, it looked fine and attractive, filled with my own self-destinies. But underneath, I still asked the question, what's the point? Have you ever had that kind of a wake-up moment? That Life's not actually bad. Actually, it can be quite good. But so what? My education, my resources, my life's journey, for what? And I heard the song deep inside, "When will my life begin?" Disney was going to originally name this movie Rapunzel. But they discovered after releasing The Princess and the Frog that boys didn't want to go to a movie about a princess. So they changed the name and they developed a strong male character for the boys. Adventure-loving, risk-taking, funny, smooth Flynn Rider. Flynn, however, was a thief. He'd robbed the palace to get the crown of the lost princess to hold for ransom. And as he's running from the soldiers, he stumbles and discovers the tower. Now, Rapunzel doesn't trust him. After all, he's from the outside, and that means he's bad. But she still makes a bargain with him. She will give him back the crown that she had hidden if he would promise to take her to go see the floating lanterns. See, ever since she could remember, thousands of paper lanterns mysteriously filled the sky on her birthday every year. She was so intrigued by them. She desperately wanted to know what they were all about. So it was soon her 18th birthday. But Mother Gothel continued to refuse to let her out of the tower, even for the one day to go see the lanterns. So in Gothel's absence, Flynn agrees to take her to the city to see the lanterns. Rapunzel's feet touch grass for the first time, then water, then running around. It felt amazing to be out of the tower. Freedom! Woo! Awesome! But then, within a matter of seconds, her guilty conscience kicks in. She was blatantly disobeying her mother. And Disney so excellently captures the mix here of her good character and her guilt, her inner turmoil. I can't believe I did this. A despicable human being. I love that. Crush her soul like a grape. But don't you know what they're talking about here? Don't you feel like that? Like Flynn says, we're at war with ourselves. For me, when I really felt the purposelessness of life without God, I finally gave him my heart and decided to trust him with my life. Give it a try. I highly recommend it. But you know what? When I did, everything didn't miraculously become perfect. All the same problems were still there. I didn't magically all just, they all just didn't go away. Choosing Jesus for your life doesn't mean that you get everything you think you want. It means choosing to live God's way, which is very different than what we think we want. But it also means finding a deep satisfaction and centeredness that answers that song. You know what else? I had the same temptations and habits that I had before. As I strove to live for God, I still had that inner war to live for myself. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. He wrote that even as a Jesus follower, he was all tangled up. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. So I find this law at work. I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of this law of sin at work within my members. Even when you leave the tower and choose the new adventure, you are tangled with that inner conflict. Every day we leave the tower, then we are at war with ourselves. The gospel's answer to our torn reality of this is the good news that when we choose Jesus, when we pursue Jesus, he then gives us the inner power to be able to choose the right. You see, now the desire for good can win. It's not easy, but it's possible. And here in Rapunzel, I love that closing image. Disney shows a willful choice, a tenacity to push on. Don't make me use this, the frying pan. She will proceed. Walking with Jesus does take a daily willful choice. It's a continual realignment under his plan for your life. And Paul talked about this too, the same area of his last writing. We need to be vested in our own walks, he says. It requires disciplined decision making. But the ability to win comes because of Jesus. Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Let's talk about this here a minute. How do we do this? How do we count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God? How do we not let sin reign within us? How do we not let sin be our master? And at this point, I need to leave the movie here for a minute and pull in some biblical principles. You see, Disney, it's always the choice of the main character pulling on her own strength and determination. And when she does that, everything then works out well in the end. Yeah, that's Disney. That's the way we all wish it were here. Make the right choice and then it all works out. I, however, live in the real world. And so I went digging for biblical ways of not letting sin reign, have the upper hand. And I see four biblical steps that help us heading away from the tower, away from the drawback, the pullback. The first is to get rid of excuses. Now that's hard. The Bible calls for honesty, self-honesty. Jesus tells the story of a man who hosted a huge banquet, great party. And he invited all kinds of people to come. But those who he invited didn't show up. You want to ask, why? What's going on here? And the Bible says, and they begin to make excuses. One said he got married, one said he bought some livestock, one said he bought some property. Excuses flowed, and they missed the party. Listen to me. There will always be good reasons to go back. Don't try to evaluate this and make the decision on merit, because we can do an excellent job always of making what we want to be the answer to sound good and sound like it makes sense. I'm really good at that. Justify anything, I can certainly justify a second donut. I'm good. And I have found from the experience a truth I want to pass on to you. I think you might just agree. Nothing great ever seems to come when you take the easy way. Nothing great, nothing worthwhile, never seems to come when you choose the easy way. At some point, you have to get honest. Stop making excuses. Get fed up with life in the tower and determine not to go back. That's our second point. Two, make the break. We are at war with ourselves, yes. So we have to make the break, and that means starving the carnal man within. No, it won't seem to be very effective right away. The carnal man is very strong. But when you feed the good in you and starve the sin, its power will weaken over time. So whatever your temptation is right now, whatever your pullback is, choose to go to bed today without feeding it. It's too strong for you to eradicate today all at once. But over time, the Bible says, by the grace that God puts within you, weaken it through starvation. You don't have to slay the giant in one day. You only have to keep it from eating today. That's why you need church. You need other Christians around you to talk you through this, to cheer you on, to hold you accountable, and to get you through. Lean on somebody. Third principle, fill the void. Here's the great lie of sin. We think we can simply turn it off and we're done. Sin is way too crafty for that. For evil has a will. We're kind of like a big pool or an ocean. We can scoop out some of the bad stuff and get rid of it over the edge. But what happens is, when you take a cup of water out of the pond, what happens? It fills in, doesn't it? Right? It gets replaced with something else. When we try to take out something in our life that is unhealthy, we find it is simply replaced with something else that is unhealthy. One of my good friends quit smoking and gained 20 pounds. You know what I mean? Right? I choose to watch less TV, but then I find myself spending more time playing games on my tablet. Yes, thank you, church, for the tablet. Great gift. Not to figure out how to control it. You have to give me a tablet, right? We have to fill the void with something else, something better, something healthy. Let's call this the gospel of replacement. If you're not feeding the carnal man, how are you using that food to enrich the good person, the good man? Don't just choose to resist, choose to replace. Replace TV time with spending time with your family. Get out of your chair and go somewhere else. Do a project that blesses someone. When your anger flares and you want to cut someone down, catch yourself and choose instead to let some kind of a good word squeak out. Encouragement, life, instead. It takes a moment for you to have that break of the Holy Spirit to give you those words in the middle there. Give the money away that you are going to spend on yourself and experience the joy of giving rather than taking. Don't just stop hanging out with that certain person. Build a relationship with somebody else. Sign up to be a mentor with a youth. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should replace whatever... Where is it? I got it wrong quite here. Each one should use whatever he has... No, here it is. I have to interpret what I wrote. I'm trying to write the Bible here. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. That's it. That's the gospel of replacement. And fourth, final, and a fourth principle, take the next step. Work on the next thing. Your nemesis, you see, will show up again in a different costume. You may make some progress against spending your time selfishly over here, but you'll find that you're tempted to start accumulating more things selfishly over here. My victory in giving generously to a missionary may lead to a desire to eat out more. It's amazing how our core issues are such disguise artists. Do you know what I'm talking about? So the answer here is that we can't just rest on the one issue that we're trying to deal with. We have to also tackle the next. It's a continual growth. Being persistent. John Wesley, who talked a lot about the sanctifying process, put it famously, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, to all the people you can, in all the places you can, as long as ever you can. Keep going. And you will find each little step takes you farther and farther away from the tower. So Rapunzel, taking step after step away from the tower. Now Flynn, you saw, he is trying to get her to turn back. He doesn't want to go on his grand journey, so he's making up all kinds of stuff to tuck her out of it. So his next scheme now is to take her to a pub filled with criminals and ruffians, to show her how scary and evil the world really is, so she'll be scared and go back. But here in the midst of this conflict, she calls back to her dream and calls it out, and the whole room changes.
Thank you.
Okay, I showed you a whole song simply because it's my favorite part of the whole movie. You didn't need to see it all, but I just love it. All you lovely people, all you lovely gentlemen, yes. The point here, and the story conveys it so well, that we all have a dream. A dream for more out of life than the way it is right now. A dream that we are more than whom we have become, where we have find ourselves stuck. Throughout the rest of the movie, except the back plot behind the main areas, you see the outlaws here start to listen to their inner calling and begin to change. I've got a dream. I've got a dream for my life to have real purpose. I've got a dream for my influence to be to bring good and make a difference in the world in which I live. I've got a dream that the aching in my heart will be replaced with true joy. I've got a dream for a different future to where my path is headed right now. I've got a dream to be who I am supposed to be. One more clip. Rapunzel does go to see the lanterns. She falls in love with Flynn and vice versa. Come on, it's Disney. But Mother Gothel tricks her again. And she ends up back in the tower, resigned and defeated. Then, as she's processing all this, it clicks. She puts it all together. She is the lost princess. Gothel has been using her. It was all a farce. And she comes to realize her true identity. Learns her true identity and then determines never to live that false life as a slave to that force again. She makes a willful choice to refuse her captor. Her realized identity, you see, sets her a new future. And that's our last takeaway. Listen to that inner dream. It's singing down deep inside. Remember your true identity as the child of the one true God. That's what we learned way back in Lion King, right? But also, you have to make a willful choice against the lie. It comes not just from yourself to do that, but from your identity as God's child, as far as who you really, truly are. You have a future. Yes, life may be a tangled mess, and the tower keeps calling you back, but you have within you the identity given to you by God, an identity for a different life, an identity for a different future. Now, there's more to the movie, as you saw the teaser at the end of that clip. The climax only comes when both Rapunzel and Flynn choose to give themselves for the other, and through that, amazingly, everything works out just fine. Shocked? Yeah. But for you, who don't live in Disney World, but who live in the real world, there's a word of hope for you too. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Say that with me. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. One more time. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. That's our dream. Amen.